Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at kboonews. I'm Jamie Haddad.
And I'm Lisa Loving. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
So we're going to be meeting this evening at the...
A coalition of activist groups tonight hold a special event on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Keystone XL pipeline, and climate change. I spoke earlier today with organizer David Delk from the Alliance for Democracy, Portland.
So we're going to be meeting this evening at the First Unitarian Church at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30. Our presentation or a meeting is titled the TPP Keystone XL and Climate Change, How Bad Trade Deals Undermine the Environmental Movement. So we're focused on specifically how the Trans-Pacific Partnership will impact efforts to address the problems of climate change and with particular focus on Keystone XL pipeline.
David Delk, when you say we... Who are you working with? Who's behind you with this project tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm the president of the Alliance for Democracy, so that's one of the sponsors. Another one is the Economic Justice Action Group at the First Unitarian Church. The Oregon Fair Trade Campaign is probably the major organizer of this. We've also got Food and Water Watch co-sponsoring, Sierra Club, and KBOO Radio, of course. I mustn't forget to mention them. And OLBC, the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. So we've got a good lineup of sponsors, hoping to get a good turnout for the event this evening.
David, as you launch this event tonight, what are some of the biggest issues that KBOO listeners should be watching in this huge mosaic of political activism around climate change and trying to figure out how to stop it or slow it down?
Well, one of the major things in terms of future actions is opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And while that agreement, of course, itself has not gone into effect, if it does, it will throw up even more major barriers to effectively addressing these problems. So that one is on the radar, needs to be on every environmentalist radar, and every environmentalist should be calling their U.S. representative and the U.S. senators saying, stop, we don't need more NAFTA-style agreements that are harmful to the environment.
Can you be more specific? I suspect there are some people that have not been paying super close attention to this issue. What is it about the TPP that is going to be such an obstacle for people?
One of the major things of these trade agreements is that they set up so-called investment state ISDS, investor state dispute settlement systems, which are systems of decision-making which are outside of the nation state. And these are tribunals that make decisions about cases that corporations are able to bring against nations. And so with these agreements, we're stepping outside the nation-state system to a transnational corporate system of decision-making. And when you do this, so as an example, and why we're talking about this agreement or with this forum that we're doing this evening and highlighting Keystone XL, because that was that major transcontinental pipeline for transmitting the Bakken oil from Alberta down to Texas. And very recently, after a very long time, a lot of agitating on the part of citizens and environmentalists to stop it, the president did say, no, we're not going to do that. And shortly thereafter, the TransCanada, which is the developer of the Keystone Pipeline, sued the United States using one of these ISDS, investor state dispute settlement tribunals, in order to challenge our decision-making. So if we want to have democratic processes for making decisions that are helpful to taming this whole climate crisis that we're involved with, we need to be sure that these kind of provisions don't become not just the law of the land, but the law of the world.
David, can you sketch out a thumbnail history of local activism on this issue, especially by you and your coalition who is bringing this event tonight?
Well, it really goes back to, we could sketch all the way back to the WTO protest that happened in Seattle, 15 years ago?
The big public rejection of the World Trade Organization.
Yes, and so it really goes back to then. The Alliance for Democracy was involved with that. The Economic Justice Action Group at the First Unitarian Church was involved with activating people to go there. And, of course, the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign was formed at about that same time, as I recall, in doing that same kind of work. So as each of these agreements have come down the pike, we have mounted our opposition to it. And when we haven't been talking about those opposition to these so-called free trade agreements, then we have been agitating for something which we would call fair trade, which is much more of a bottom-up, we all can do in order to actually benefit from trade when trade is necessary. So that's very sketchy, but...
Not at all. I think that a lot of times we're so busy anymore trying to make ends meet that we don't even stop and think about what we have been doing and what we can be doing. So as you're going to have this wonderful event tonight, and I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to give all the details about when and where and what people should expect, who are the people that you wish would come? Who are the people that you're trying to weave into this effort?
Well, right now with this specific event, of course, we're trying to get environmentalists, people who are concerned about climate change and the climate crisis, to be aware of how this agreement would impact their efforts to address those problems. So that's our major focus. But a little bit larger, we're also organizing additional forums focused on in other specific areas. For instance, labor would be one that we're going to be organizing another forum in the future. So environmentalists on this one, we really need to focus everybody's attention on these kinds of agreements, because in the end, the progress that we've made on so many issues, whether it's inequality or the environment freedoms in general, labor rights, have all come because we do have at least the form of a democratic system in the United States. And without that, we would not be able to make the progress that we have made. There's lots more progress to be made. There's lots of things we still need to do. But the TPP and free trade agreements are a direct assault on our abilities to address those kinds of issues. Because it constantly puts those decisions that we make up to challenge by corporations fearful that they're going to lose their profit-making abilities.
David, is there a timeline for passage of the TPP FPP or the political system that's kind of hammering it into place? Is there a timeline for that? I mean, do you think that we have a year to try to derail it, or can you just give us a sense of when things are happening with that so that we can think about our own actions?
Yes. Well, my personal feeling is that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has already been signed by the president, and he now has it in his pocket, he's able to present it to Congress for their approval or their vote, I should say, at whatever time that he wants to do it. So whenever it's convenient for him, whenever he's done as much pressuring of Congress people and senators that he thinks that he can get a yes vote on it, he will then present it. My feeling is that it won't come before Congress until the lame duck session after the November election. And the reason that I think that is that, number one, this is a very toxic issue. This is not an issue that politicians want to be forced to take a position on and to have it as a major issue during the campaign. But the lame duck session after the campaign, you will have members of in Congress who will not have been reelected or who will have retired, but they're still in office. So there's no consequences for them to vote yes on doing this. And then, of course, then you have the other folks who will be in Congress who have been reelected, but they know that the earliest that consequences could happen to them would be 2 years from now when they're up for reelection again. So assuming that they know that the American public, unfortunately, has a short memory, and 2 years is a long time, so it makes conditions about right for the president to present it to Congress during that lame duck session. So November is when I would expect it to be presented to Congress. But again, ultimately, it is dependent on the president presenting that to Congress.
So within your community of activism, what I hear you saying is within the next 6 months to a year, mm-hmm. get ready to turn up the heat. That's what I hear you saying.
Yes. And a good time to practice turning up the heat is right now by calling your U.S. representative and your senators and letting them know that you expect them to vote no on the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Okay, David, what will people expect tonight who come? What are you going to be doing tonight?
Yeah, well, we've got a couple people on a panel. Barbara Dudley, who is a PSU professor, former executive director of Greenpeace USA, and Michael Shannon, who is the executive director of the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. And I think that we have someone from one of the environmental organizations directly, but I'm not absolutely certain of that. They will be doing a slide show presentation and this, and then there'll be time for Q&A with the audience, and we'll be trying to motivate people to start acting now.
Now, when and where is the event?
Yeah, the event, doors open at 6:30 this evening, Thursday, the 31st. The event starts at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Church, which is at the corner of Southwest 12th and Salmon in downtown Portland.
David Dulk, anything else that you think KBOO listeners should know about this event and this issue?
Well, in general, the major thing to think about is what does agreements like this, which this one covers 40% of the world's economy, what effect does that have on democratic rulemaking, and how do we ensure that democratic rulemaking and lawmaking persist on into the future? The best way to do that right now is to oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
All right. David Delp, thank you for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. This class is for those who want to name and correct liberal racism, who want to understand and interrupt isms, and who want to be a powerful ally and take on race issues and white fragility without co-opting the issues. Again, that's The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. at Hatch, 2420 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Information on how to register for the class and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Tim DeChristopher Lecture, Wielding the Power of Vulnerability, Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Tim DeChristopher, as Bitter 70, disrupted a Bureau of Land Management oil and gas auction in 2008 by outbidding oil companies for land parcels around Arches and Canyonlands National Parks in Utah. His actions led to a 21-month imprisonment. Again, that's a lecture by Tim DeChristopher titled Wielding the Power of Vulnerability, Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO has offered a Bill of the Month membership since the very beginning of the station. Now you can be a sustaining member without any paperwork.